Before beginning any treatment, it is suggested that one review the files which are under the title of All Treatment Standards. These files are in PDF and in MP3 and include such things as introductory quotes to Science and Health, the introductory quote to Chapter 14, definitions of God in two different places in Science and Health, definition of good, the reference to the system of divine metaphysics, providing some basic elementary thoughts about it on each of the four operators and the seven synonymous terms, a suggestion on how to seal a treatment, which is the last few words one would say at the end of a treatment, and other things may be included in the All Treatment Standards. They are very important because they give someone a reference to the overall controlling frame of thought that one should keep in the forefront as they are writing or thinking about or recording a treatment for themselves or for anyone else. To save space, these have been put into separate files and therefore generally will not be discussed in any detail in any particular treatment. But please decide what you want to review before you start any treatment that we provide on the website. This is the end of the suggestions regarding what one should consider to keep in thought prior to beginning any treatment. The topic of this treatment is spirit, the only substance. Spirit is the opposite of matter, and only one of them can be real. There are no two opposites of any topic in which both of them can be real. Therefore, one must do the research at the onset of when the topic occurs to one. Obviously, there is always more to learn on any topic, or one would be walking on water. They would have overcome the total belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Therefore, one must always be open to new inspiration. Dale Carnegie, one of the most famous and successful teachers of success, stated that one better not make a strong statement of their opinion about something because tomorrow they may have changed their mind and agree with the opposite. The infinite has no beginning and no end. Everything in the universe is part of the infinitude of God. Therefore, we must always realize the statement Mary Baker Eddy made about infinite progression is concrete being and be willing to always be listening for new inspiration. One of the things that occurred when I was thinking about the topic of spirit and matter, its so-called opposite, and substance, which is the key feature of spirit. And by the way, one of the qualities of spirit is being flawless. It could not be spirit if it had any flaws. It would be matter. And of course, there is no opposite to truth, and therefore the reality of spirit means that it cannot have any matter as a part of it. It has to be pure spirit. It has to be transparent, not opaque, not even a speck of opaqueness, because that speck would be matter. One of the most serious problems today appears to be obesity. This means that one is carrying around with them unneeded thoughts. Thoughts that are the opposite of truth. Thoughts that are the opposite of spirit. Thoughts that are, in essence, a belief that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter. If one is obese, which means anything that is over an absolutely normal physique, for we must consider physique if we are going to be walking around with a body, a physical, visible thing. And hopefully it has 2 arms and 10 fingers, or 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, 2 legs and toes, and all the other elements that are supposed to be part of a functioning set of symbols for completeness of a body. If it doesn't have, then we need to work on seeing more clearly exactly what we have as a body. It was explained to me many years ago that a body really is everything that we are thinking, talking about, or doing. In other words, anything at all that is in consciousness is our body. It would include, of course, any individual we have a relationship with, any event that we are involved in, any thought about anything whatsoever. Jesus said that what one thinks about is the same as doing it. Therefore, we all probably have a lot of skeletons in our closet that needs to be sterilized, needs to be rejected, needs to be replaced with truth. Can't try to improve something that is erroneous. It has to be totally replaced. Same thing in mathematics. We don't try to improve something. We have to replace it with the actual, factual, mathematical situation, whether it's a formula or a digit or one of the operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide, of which are the roots. Whatever it is, it has to be corrected, and the only way to correct it is to get rid of it and replace it with what is true. If we know anything about spirit, then we must be continuing to cultivate a higher and higher view of it. We need to be thinking, talking, and doing what supports spirit. And the talking doesn't have to be verbal, it can be mental. Just like a treatment doesn't have to be verbal, it can be mental. One needs to execute a treatment based on whatever seems to work best for them. Maybe writing it down, maybe thinking about it, maybe recording it. Whatever method is used, the content must be fresh. It cannot be just repeating the words of someone else's inspiration. One must make it their own. When we don't carry around any excess baggage, because that basically is what obesity is. It is something that is not needed, something that is not normal, something that is not a symbol of principle or of any of the other qualities of God. It's certainly not a symbol of intelligence or wisdom or knowing or capacity or capability, functionality, facility, action. In fact, it could very well be a symbol of the lack of action. If one has a routine job and when they come home, they just sit in front of a television and eat snacks until they go to bed, that doesn't seem to be a symbol of principle in any way, shape, or form. Mary Baker Eddy says that we should use the moments. And a moment is defined as the smallest amount of time. And she says often the difference between success and failure is how we use the moments. Are they used toward a plan, a goal, or an overall balanced set of plans? The title to a goal could be one word, life. And that could mean, how does one improve it? One needs to look at every phase or category of whatever it is that they feel is a part of their life. Certainly, the spiritual development should be at the head of the list, for everything else will fall into line much easier if our primary goal is to seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things shall be added unto you. It's a quote from Solomon. Solomon was considered to be the wealthiest man of all time, including right now. One of the beautiful things about the wealth of Solomon was he treated his people with love, with respect, treating them as an individual manifestation of God. When the Queen of Sheba visited Solomon to see if what she had heard about him was really true, she noticed that all of the people working for Solomon, his staff, were all happy people. In other words, they reflected the spiritual nature of what the king was himself. And she said, when I visited Solomon, his wealth was even greater than what I had heard. And one of the things she was referring to was exactly that. There was a great degree of joy that surrounded the palace and the activities of the king. It wasn't a matter of being king and servant. It was a matter of all being unified under the umbrella of the one and only God. One way of considering what to do about a problem of obesity is think of oneself as an empty closet. How do you want to structure your empty closet? Do you want to have shelves in there or a hanging area for hanging up clothes, place for shoes, a place for having things stacked in sections or in cubicles? Does anything need to be labeled if it's not obvious or if it's a mixture? And again, we got to be remembering about principle. Principle is not a mixture of good and evil. It's not a mixture of things that are used and things that are not used. Everything in consciousness should be something that is useful and is going to be used. And everything about our life is really a reflection of our consciousness. If we look in our closet where we store clothes, maybe we should give away or sell or dispose of anything that we haven't worn in the last year. That is just a sample of an idea. Everyone needs to determine what is reasonable and what is intelligent in how they do it for themselves. In reference to thoughts that we may be holding in consciousness, it may be a good idea to review some topics that we haven't considered for quite some time. Of course, it's a lot easier to do that if we are methodical in the way we record what we're doing, what we're studying, any treatments that we have utilized. In other words, it's a good idea to have a catalog of how we are conducting our life. If one studies how to be successful in a regular, ordinary life without a particular focus on the type of profession, or if one is considered to be retired, it might be their hobbies or other things they're pursuing, maybe non-profit efforts that they are contributing to humanity. Mary Baker Eddy says that age should be a symbol of wisdom, for if we are paying attention as we go through life as to what we are learning from our experiences, we should have more wisdom as time progresses. Keeping records of our activities could be very useful in learning and progressing along the path that we follow. Trainers in Success suggest that we review the progress once a week. If one makes a serious effort along this line, they could very well see that they are progressing in that statement that Mary Baker Eddy stated, which was that infinite progression is concrete being. Our recognition of our own progress will become more vivid. Obviously, if one is married and has a family, they may not have as much time for seclusion in order to do these kinds of things compared to someone that is living alone. However, we all begin with the same number of minutes for the forthcoming 24 hours, 1,440. The question is, how are we going to use them? At the end of that 1,440 minutes, are we going to be able to look back on that and say that we have gained a better sense of true substance? We have been more conscious of devoting our efforts to moments that are constructive. Praying without ceasing is certainly a reminder that we should be utilizing spiritual thoughts in everything we think, say, and do. That is prayer without ceasing. We are driving out on a highway that doesn't have much traffic, and it gives us an opportunity to maybe think in addition to just driving. Then we could be entertaining thoughts or review topics instead of just letting the human mind wander without any purpose. And that is the standard default that most people do. We certainly must give priority to the function of driving. But as I mentioned, this would be in a situation where maybe one is on a road where there's very few cars, and one could do that kind of thing without jeopardizing in any way the need to be focusing on driving. If one is in the kitchen doing dishes or taking a shower or brushing one's teeth, getting dressed, walking from wherever they are to another place, there are many moments a day that one could utilize in a productive manner, which may not be utilized unless there's a conscious effort to do it. It appears to be common that when one finishes a project, they may decide to have a snack. Is one really hungry, or is it just a habit? How about exercise? Do we ever walk instead of driving a car if it's a short distance. There's a need to have balance in one's life, no matter what the topic is. If there is a problem with obesity, I know a fellow that when he went shopping with his family, they went to an area that was about a mile away. And he decided that he was going to normalize his physique because he was obese. And so he planned to leave in the amount of time it would take to walk to where they were going to go shopping and leave before the rest of the family was ready. And then he would meet them where they were going to be shopping. And he also walked home. Over a period of time, he actually ended up being normal, which meant losing some 100 pounds. But he made a conscious effort to do it. What are we going to do in trying to gain more in our spiritual advancement? Are we going to make a conscious effort to do it? Richard Strain, one of the authors on the website, had come to a very desperate point in his life, and he didn't know what to do. He went to a friend who had been a longtime Christian Science practitioner and said, "I don't know what to do." And the first question was, "How much time are you allocating each day for study?" He said, "I don't have any time to study." He says, "By the time I get finished with what I'm doing, you know, the things that he felt were required for the day," he said, "there was only 6 hours left, and he used those to sleep and to prepare for the next day." And the practitioner said, "If you're not studying 5 hours a day, don't expect to advance forward." So he really gave that serious thought. And after a few minutes of considering all of the things he needed to do and so forth, and compared that to the importance of getting on top of his life, he said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." And by the end of the first week, he already had improvements in his schedule where he was able to have more rest than just 1 hour a day, and he was making significant advances in his viewpoint about life because of his five-hour-a-day study for those few days that, you know, he had already studied at the time that he made a record of what I'm repeating to you. Mary Baker Eddy said she would have kept better records on all the healings that she was involved in. She said there were so many, and I have no record of them at all. Or I have a very skimpy record. I think that's one of the reasons why she allocated time in the Wednesday evening meeting for testimonies. She really felt it was important to record the progress that we're making and the ways we've been protected and specific treatments or healings that we've experienced. The same thing that was just mentioned about what they recommend for people that are striving to be successful in their life. And these are non-Christian Scientists, just people that are thinking about how to structure one's life instead of just take it as it comes, which means that there is no structure. If Mary Baker Eddy would have let her life be guided by anything that came in front of her, I imagine there would be a substantial amount that would be distractions that would not be furthering her goal of what she did in terms of discovering and founding and leading the way in Christian Science to a hungry world. This is the year of 2024, and I cannot imagine there ever being a time in the history of mankind that was more important than right now for us to make a concentrated effort to improve our understanding of spirit. The mainstream media is advertising profusely that matter is nuclear bombs, nuclear weapons. In other words, when I say that matter is, they're saying that this is what matters to humanity. War, does that matter to humanity? Is that what Jesus proposed? Is that what Mary Baker Eddy proposed? Is that what John proposed as he recorded what Jesus was telling him in the book of Revelation? John relates that there is a new heaven and a new earth. That means we need to get our thought above the sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, elevate it as described by one of the greatest practitioners of all time, which was Frederick L. Rawson. He says, in order to conduct the treatment, very quickly deny its existence by saying there is no, and then just name the title to whatever the problem seems to be. And then he says, immediately shift your thought to God as a perfect God, to heaven as a perfect place, and that we are in the heaven being controlled by the perfect God, and that is where our thoughts should be if we want a healing. Now, I think he simplifies it, and I don't know that we can just immediately jump there, but whatever one wants to work out for themselves as what they're being led to do, because we're all working out our own salvation. And any treatments on this website are only suggestions to give somebody some kind of a starting point that may be a catalyst to help them be doing serious treatments. It's not to replace someone else's thinking or working out the salvation for someone else, because that's impossible to do. Even if someone would be healed through the efforts of a practitioner, it has been stated that until one actually is transformed by their own efforts, that they have problems to work out related to what they think was a permanent healing from a practitioner. One needs to actually make a change in their life. What that involves and how one does it is an individual demonstration. But don't just think when you have a problem, you can just pick up the phone and delegate it to someone else. Because the problem is yours to solve. And if another individual, such as a practitioner, can give you some guidance and assistance, then that's fine. Mary Baker Eddy even says that she does not see any benefit in Christian Scientists getting together to discuss Christian Science. She says it is an individual development. She certainly has provided the tools, and since her day here on Earth, we have an enormous additional number of tools available to us that make it very simple to do some of the things mentioned in this recording about the system and structure of our own life and how we conduct our schedule and keep track of things and so forth. The moments of our life will fill up with things that are not needed unless we follow a structured path with spiritual inspiration and always strive to be on that path of infinite progression so that we can strive toward the concrete being. Eating when we're not hungry, only because it's a habit, can be applied to a lot of different things. According to studies, the average time on social media is 2 hours a day per person. What would happen if those 2 hours were devoted to spiritual concentration about who God is, or what God is, what man is, what is the relationship between God and man, and how can I apply that to what I'm involved in right now, or at work, or with my family, or friends, relatives, with any project I might be involved in, whether it's a hobby or a profession? Am I always alert that when someone is seeking a better life or a solution to a problem, to make sure we're listening to see if it is the right thing to do to mention Christian Science to them? It's very easy when we're talking to an educated person to refer to Einstein. If one is not educated, they probably have never heard of who Einstein is. But Einstein made some very significant statements about Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science, and Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. We have quite a bit of information on our website, and we have him listed as an author. He said, "Everything that is in this book," referring to Science and Health. And he said, "Blessed art thou," with a capital T, "for everything that is in this book." So he said, "Blessed art thou," as if he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy as God, or a God, because he capitalized it in the middle of a sentence, "Blessed art thou." And then he said, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago." He said that about 1950, which is, what, 74 years ago. And he had been working all of his life on what is the composition of the universe. In fact, he said some intriguing things in a movie that I watched recently, which was a replay of one that was from 20 or 25 years ago. And the title was IQ. And it was about him and his niece and three or four other well-known thinkers of the day. And they were discussing, well, what is the universe? And is there really such thing as time? Is there any reality to that concept? And, of course, in real life, he was involved in all of the efforts to try to split the atom and that kind of thing. They had an atomic energy commission, and one of his best friends was on that commission, and the only one that survived it, the rest of them were all eaten up by radiation. He was healed, his friend, Dr. Underwood, because he studied Christian Science. And that really sparked the interest by Einstein to study it. He attended churches, he attended reading rooms, and he studied the book seriously before he made those statements that were just referred to. So, if it's an educated person you're talking to, you could say, "Do you have any idea what kind of interest that Einstein had in religion?" I'm not sure who made this statement, but somebody made the statement that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is lame. Einstein did connect science and religion when he made the statement that Christian Science works if one approaches it in a scientific and systematic fashion. And that is on our website as a quote, something to that effect. The population is hungry, but they don't know where to go because of all the threats of nuclear war, because of the dumbing down in the education system. It's really at a low level. I would say the majority of people do not know how to do mathematics on their own without having a calculator in their hand. When I go shopping, I add up things in my thought so that I know the general round number when I go to the checkout counter. There was a product that I use and like, and it had a price that was about 40% off. And so I bought a large quantity of them. It happened to be 1 liter of tomato juice. So I bought a multi-month supply of it. And when I went to the counter to check out, the price was significantly higher than what it should have been. And that was the only thing that they had run through the cash register at that time. So I asked them what was the unit price they were charging. And they were not showing the discounted price. We need to be alert to everything we're doing and make sure we're following principle. We cannot count on other people being conscientious about everything they're doing. That particular clerk may not have been aware that they had a special price on it. I don't know. But it is our responsibility to follow principle. So whatever we're doing, we need to apply that concept that it is our responsibility to be following principle no matter what we're involved in. I have been undercharged by a significant amount when I've made a large purchase. We cannot gain by not paying the correct price for what we buy. I've learned that, and I went back to the clerk, or I think it was actually, this has been some time back, I believe it was before I left the checkout counter, and I said, "You didn't charge me enough for this." She said, "No, that's what it is. Don't worry about it." But I did do something about it. I called for the manager, and they reviewed it, and sure enough, there was a significant number of dollars that were not charged for what I was had in my cart. Principle doesn't just go one way. It is multidimensional. We have 1,440 minutes a day, as was mentioned. Are we going to use them to make sure that we're following principle in what we do? If we do, we will never be obese. We will never eat just by habit. We will never eat something that is unbalanced. Sit down and eat a half a gallon of ice cream or even a quart. I had two dogs one time, and one of them was very aggressive, and we had a party outside for some friends. And we walked them to the car as they were leaving, and the dogs were running free. We had maybe 2 or 3 acres, and it was all fenced in, so they could roam freely. There was about a half of a cake left, and when we got back from departing comments with our friends, the cake was all gone. So yeah, the dogs, they scarfed it all up. But they were not overweight. They were not obese. They were running around the 3 acres, freely all the time. I think animals have a lot more sense than people in terms of eating. They can sense if food is bad by smelling it. When they're full, they stop eating. Doesn't matter what's left. Well, this was an exception. The only time I've seen a pet that was overweight was when they were living with someone that kept them indoors all the time. And they basically reflected the nature, the appearance of their master. If we reflect the nature of our master, whether we think about Jesus as being a master or God, which is our real one, then we may be changing some of the things that we do in conducting our life. I remember when I was in college, we had a college organization, which is a group of, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, a group of Christian Scientists that are students in that particular university. And there was a fellow that stood up and gave a testimony. And he said that he had done some things to help someone that was really exhausting. And it was late at night by the time he stopped. And he no more got a shower and into bed than his phone rang. And someone needed him to do something, and it was like midnight. And he was really exhausted. And somebody called and ask him to do something. It was drive somewhere that was like 2 hours away or something. I forget the details whether the fellow's car was broken down or what, but he needed this guy to come and, you know, drive 2 hours and do whatever was needed. And he was very tempted to say, "I just can't do it. I'm exhausted." And then the thought came to him, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He knew what Jesus would do, and so he did it. No matter how tired he was, he knew it needed to be done, and he did it. Just like Richard Strain, his longtime friend told him he had to study 5 hours, so he decided it needed to be done. He didn't know how he was going to do it, but he knew it needed to be done, so he did it. Are we going to do what needs to be done to further our path along the path of truth and spirit? Or are we going to be lackadaisical, undisciplined, and forget what Mary Baker Eddy says about love? She says she makes strong demands on love. Well, love is a term that represents fulfillment and wholeness, nurturing. We're supposed to be nurturing all the qualities of God, no matter whether it's mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, or love, and the operators, which are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. We're supposed to be nurturing those. By the way, those are explained in summary form in that document or documents files I mentioned that are entitled All Treatment Standards. So I won't go into them here. But anyway, we have to make a decision an infinite number of times a day, or what seems to be infinite, you know, however many moments there are. What are we going to do about it? We're not going to be carrying any extra weight around with us if we are on the ball. Mary Baker Eddy says that if we really do our work, we're not going to have time to waste in gossiping or talking or thinking about other people. Well, we're not going to have a desire to eat when we're not hungry, and we're not going to have a desire to have an unbalanced meal where all we do is eat a large amount of something that it doesn't make sense. No one is going to be obese if they are intelligent and apply that intelligence to what they're eating and how what quantity they eat. Bicknell Young, who was advanced enough to raise himself from the dead, from drowning, he said that people would come to him wanting help on their business. You know, he was a practitioner. He said they'd want to have help on their business. He said the biggest problem I found is they didn't know how to run their business. In other words, they didn't understand the principles of the business they were in. And they expected a miracle. Jesus could not have performed what everyone else called his miracles. Mary Baker Eddy didn't call him that, because she said they were all scientific healings. But he couldn't have performed these activities if he didn't understand what he was doing. If we're in a business, we better understand everything there is to know about that kind of business. One should spend their life constantly learning, constantly practicing what they learn. I took an advanced course in something one time, and the professor, in fact, it wasn't even in a university, it was a specialized course that was not in a university, and he said, now, you've been taking these courses, you know, I'd taken several courses, and so had other ones. We became friends and recognized each other and so forth. And he said, several of you have attended, you know, a number of my classes, courses, seminars, and whatever. And he said, what are you practicing? Are you using the information? And if you do any amount of studying about being successful, you will learn pretty quickly that you only remember what you practice, what you do. You can read all day long, but you're not going to remember it. You're not going to make it useful. It won't do any benefit to you whatsoever unless you use it. You have to practice it. And of course, more than that, you really need to make it your own. You don't just follow what someone else says. You need to go out there and do some trial and error on your own. You need to prove to yourself that what the so-called expert told you is true. We should never automatically accept anything without proving it to ourselves. It doesn't mean much unless we prove it to ourselves. I mentioned Mr. Rawson is one of the greatest practitioners. We need to try what he says. In fact, if he's famous for anything, it is because he tested things. He thought he had an understanding on how to do retroactive treatment or treating backwards, which means that the treatment would be effective before he even made any effort to do it. And so he said, I'm going to test my idea on this. And his idea was basically that he had to make the statement that there was nothing that was impossible to God. Everything was possible to God. And therefore, no matter what it was that he wanted to do, if it was sincere and for the benefit of mankind, that it could be done. The second thing that he had to do was to make a statement that time could not be real. I mean, Genesis 1 states in the beginning, and Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean in the only. And of course, the Bible says something about the end is at the beginning. That's the paraphrase, but something to that effect. and it's in the Old Testament. And so he said, if that's true, that means that there can't be any time. And he said, he also had the inspiration that a human life is like a movie. He said, what part of the movie do you want to look at? Do you want to look at the past, the future, or the present? If someone passes on that you had a close relationship with, do you want to think about them being gone? Or do you want to think about all the beautiful things that you may have shared or that individual did, which is their qualities? What is going to be your focus? Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter to one of her students on the topic of vision. And she says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? Focus. Focus on the truth. Focus on what God is, on what man is, the relationship between God and man. Focus on the fact that one of the definitions of God is that God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing. It's on page 587. God is all-seeing. In other words, it's not an organ that is inside our head that does the seeing. That is only a symbol. What is behind the symbol? Just like what is behind a beautiful tree? There's a whole root system under the ground that we can't see. And what made that root system? You know, the old question, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken lays the eggs, and more chickens come out of the egg, but what laid the first egg? This is one of the things that Einstein was intrigued with for most of his life. How is this? How does this whole universe work? What started it? The Big Bang Theory is obviously not the answer. How could all these planets out there be rotating around some kind of a central point, whether it's our sun or some other attraction, unless there is something far beyond man? I mean, man is just, you know, one thing that maybe studies it and tries to figure out what is going on, but what actually did it? And when was it done? What is truth? Is truth always true? Or does it just happen to be true when we discover it? Was the truth in mathematics always in the line of truth? Or only when somebody discovered it? It was always true. 7 times 14 was always 20, or 7 plus 14 is always 21. Maybe we only learned it when we were in the, I don't know, first, second, or third grade, whenever we learned the mathematical tables, fifth grade, whatever. It was always true. How about all these ancient cities? Talk about some of them being very advanced. How about the Great Pyramid? Has all these things inside that have all these prophecies in it. Do we have time to carry around extra matter, a belief of life, truth, and intelligence in eating, when we have all of these other things that we can contemplate that are much more valuable? The education in just the textbook, without even thinking about anything else, we should be making a continual study of. And Mary Baker Eddy says that we will get a much better understanding of science and health if we study her other writings. How about just the article on Love Your Enemies? How about what is the theme in each chapter of Science and Health? John Morgan did a wonderful thing in analyzing that. We have that on our website, and we recommend that when someone reads something out of a chapter of Science and Health, that they review what the theme is of the whole chapter. How about the introductory quote or quotes? Some of them have one quote, some of them have more than one. How about the introductory quotes to the entire book of Science and Health? And how about the quote to the introductory quote to the Key to the Scriptures? How about the introductory quote to chapter 14, which is the chapter on recapitulation? It says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That's from Isaiah. Before we read anything out of chapter 14, do we read that? It's certainly recommended from the one making this recording. I think about the introductory quotes to Science and Health. In fact, if you listen to any number of recordings, you will see that it is repeated very often as the first thing to think about. And that's in the All Treatment Standard. It's so important. You know, what is the purpose of Science and Health? I mean, she says right there, well, she repeats John in chapter 8, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What does that mean? Well, we got to know the facts. That's the truth. And it'll make us free. But how does it work? Well, the second quote tells us, Shakespeare, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So do we want to know the truth? Do we want to understand the truth? Do we want to be made free? Free from the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter? If we do, then we better watch what our thoughts are, as Shakespeare tells us. And then what happens if we do number one and number two quote? Well, then we can look at number three by Mary Baker Eddy. She says, oh, I am blessed. You know, she says, God has answered her prayers. Oh, thou hast heard my prayers, and I am blessed. In other words, our blessing comes, our reward comes, our benefit, our success comes after we do number one and two. So we better watch every single thing we think about. Are we going to think about eating? Every time we get done with some task, are we going to say, oh, well, I'm going to go get a snack. Before I go to bed, well, I'm going to go get a snack. As soon as I get up, I'm going to go get a snack. Oh, I did something. I'm going to get a snack. I'm watching television. I don't know anybody watches television anymore. Most everything is on the internet. But anyway, I'm going to get a snack. I'm going to go shopping and I'm going to be gone for 3 or 4 hours, so I better eat something. Do we think we're going to be exhausted from shopping if we don't eat something before we start? JFK had one very good, well, he did many good things. But one thing he did that was good was he got everybody thinking about exercising and their appearance. The country was obese, and he was a leader in people being more conscious about what they eat. Well, that's principle, that's balance, that's harmony. Don't condemn him for all the illicit things he did. If so, you better condemn King David. What did he do? After he was king, he was looking out from his palace and probably through some eyeglasses or eye binoculars or something, telescope, I don't know. But he saw this beautiful woman. So he inquired as to who she was and was she married and so forth. Sure enough, she was married. So the next war, he ordered the husband to be put out on the front lines where there was a high probability of death. And that's exactly what happened. Then he absconded with the wife, made him one of his, the woman, and made him one of his wives. I mean, that's about as bad as you can get. That's murder. God doesn't pick a perfect human to do something because there are none. There are none. Well, Jesus was a hybrid because he did not have a material father that planted a seed in the mother. So he had to step up on all of us. He was able to walk on water. But unless the one that you're getting instruction from walks on water, then you got to figure that he's also fighting the battle of life, truth, and intelligence being believed to be in matter. So don't put a standard of perfection on everyone. The former president, who really is still legally the president, there's apparently some background in his life that wasn't perfect. I certainly have a closet full of skeletons. I don't know of anyone that doesn't, if they're honest. God picks the person that is the right one to do the task. So we can't be critical of everything about everyone. We need to support the idea, the office, or the project in an impersonal way. That doesn't mean we should associate with people that we know to have an inclination to do evil things. That's different than what I'm talking about. Mary Baker Eddy says we should not enter an immoral atmosphere except with the purpose of purifying it. Well, we shouldn't make that our life purpose of entering into immoral atmospheres. That's like overeating. Are we going to make that our life purpose? One of the temptations Jesus had after he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert before he started his practice, his mission, was that he should jump off the cliff. And the story goes that the devil told him, well, God will save you. Jesus never argued with the devil. He would just state the truth. Same as Mary Baker Eddy. They said she was prayerless. She just made a statement that was the truth, that she prayed three times a day. Well, Jesus told the devil that God says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Are we going to go down the highway driving without any hands on the car? I suppose you could if you're driving one of these cars that is from Tesla, where they're supposed to be self-driving cars. I don't know, I'm not so sure I'd be closing my eyes and sleeping. If I let it do the self-driving, I think I'd have my eyes open and be ready to grab the... you know, the gear shift or press the brake or something, steering wheel. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, we don't normally, shouldn't be going down the highway and taking our hands off the wheel and just say, well, God will steer the car. It's like Bicknell Young. He told his people that came to him about the business, you better know your business. If you want Christian Science to help you, you have to know your business. God helps them who helps themselves. Probably everyone has heard that. God helps them who help themselves. Are we doing our part? Principle is there. mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, and love, they're all there because they are omnipresent. That's what helps us. God is not a person that steps in and grabs our hand and says, get your hand off of that. Or kicks us in the rear end and says, get moving. The laws of God are omnipresent. And when we let them guide us, that is when we're going to make the right moves. We're going to make the right decisions. We're going to take the right actions. We're going to say the right thing. Now keep in mind, Jesus said, yea, yea, nay, nay. He did very little talking unless he was on his mission where he was talking to a group of people to try to teach them about Christianity, about God, about the right way to live your life. Are we going to carry around extra fat around our waist or anywhere on our body? Are we going to just be someone that can't even hardly get up out of their chair because we never do any kind of exercise? That doesn't mean we have to go through a mechanical exercise. We can just, like I mentioned, we can walk instead of drive, or we can run instead of walk. Or we can, I stand up when I eat. I generally eat in the kitchen. You know, that's the fastest way to get it all done. Now, I have the benefit of not having other people I live with, and I don't have any family that lives with me. So I have more flexibility than someone that is married with a wife and a family. You need to follow what is courteous, although I suppose you could all eat out in the kitchen. Anyway, that's where the food is. That's where the dishes are. That's where the sink is. That's where the trash is. All the utensils. That's where the microwave is. And all the other cooking utensils, whatever one uses. An oven, stovetop, whatever. So that's a good place to be when you're eating, in my view. And of course, being by myself, I usually have something that is playing on an MP3 player so that I can be letting my thought be filled and refreshed with those kind of things. And you can't do that if you have a family and you want to talk, have conversation. Obesity can be measured in many ways, not just food. Anything that we do in excess is obesity. Anything we do in excess. In fact, the children of Israel had to learn not to store up things, but depend on God every day. I'm probably not very good at that because when I see something in a special price that I like and that I use all the time, I stock up. In one way, I think that's intelligence. It's not that I don't depend on God. Many times, I have been out of something that I had a big supply of and used it up over time. And so I put it on the list. And it's amazing how often it is on special just at the time that I need it. That's probably being open to intelligence. It's probably being open to the fact that God supplies our need. The idea is that everyone needs to work out their own salvation, period. Jesus didn't work out our salvation. He gave us an example. Can you imagine Jesus being obese? I can't. Of course, back in those days, they were walking a lot if they weren't riding their animal. Talks about him walking along the path. And common courtesy was to wash the feet of their guests because I don't think they had asphalt roads. So they probably had everything below their knees that would get dusty and dirty. God will guide us. God will work with us, which means that His principles, His qualities are there for us to utilize. And it's like the phrase that when the teacher is ready, the student appears, and when the student is ready, the teacher appears. In other words, there is unity, there is oneness, there is fulfillment, there is completeness. And that applies to every part of our life, not just eating. Intelligence is there. Are we going to use it in our eating? Or are we just going to be totally without the discipline? Are we going to forget what Mary Baker Eddy says about she makes strong demands on love? Love is fulfillment. We're not going to have fulfillment if we don't have discipline, because principle is a part of the laws of the universe. The laws of the universe. And the only universe is the universe of God. There is no other universe. There is no other existence. All existence is of the substance of spirit. All senses are spiritual senses. All life is spiritual life. All principle is spiritual principle. All truth is spiritual truth. All love is spiritual. We must learn that. If we don't get a better understanding of that, when I say learn it, it's constant progression. We're working toward infinite progression. If we don't learn a little bit more each day, then we've lost, because we don't have another chance at that moment. That moment is lost. The thought occurred to me about one of Einstein's quotes, and he said, the important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existing. One cannot help but be in awe when he contemplates the mysteries of eternity, of life, of the marvelous structure of reality. It is enough if one tries merely to comprehend a little of this mystery every day. Never lose a holy curiosity. Never lose a holy curiosity. Please listen to the all treatment standards regarding sealing and treatment. There is nothing but God. Amen.